Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. I'm super stoked with how this episode turned out. Jesse Ortiz, he's such a good storyteller, and just the stories he was telling were so intriguing. And not only that, he's just a consistent big buck killer. He's always around big bucks, and he's doing it in places that not a lot of people are killing big bucks, especially that time of year. So I think there's a lot to learn from him. And I know some of the archery hunts have already started, and some of them are coming up quick. So I thought this was a perfect episode to kind of get everybody even more excited for the archery hunts coming up. But before we start, I just want to thank a couple of our sponsors. First, Rider Industries. Hunter just came out with a bipod. And it's super cool. I've seen it a couple times now. And my favorite feature on it is that on the side, you can kind of pull it and it will pan left and right. So instead of having to pick up the whole bipod and reset it and level it like a normal tripod, once you have it set, you can pan left and right and kind of stay on the deer if you have to. And it also has the carbon fiber leg, so it's super light and durable and a super cool tripod. Another sponsor I want to give a shout out to real quick is Art of the Hunt. That's Art of the H-N-T is how they spell it. They're doing some really cool stuff. I sent a few pictures of my strip buck to him, and then what he does is he creates a design or a logo out of it, and it's actually the logo on the Instagram and the podcast now that he designed. So you send your buck or your bull or whatever into him, and then he designs a logo for you, and then he can put it on hats and shirts and phone cases, all sorts of things. And actually right now they're running a promo. If you order a piece of apparel or headwear from them and use the code LAUNCH2024, that's one word, LAUNCH2024, at checkout, you're also going to get a free custom phone case with your logo on it. So it's pretty cool what they're doing, just kind of like another way to preserve your memories of your buck or your bull. And that's Art of the H-N-T, Art of the Hunt. So go ahead and check them out. But for now, let's go ahead and get right into our episode.
All right, guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. This is someone I've wanted to get on for a long time now. Back when I had the podcast going before, we tried to get him on too. And he's just a consistent killer, and he's doing it in units and in New Mexico, where I just don't see anyone else killing bucks like he's killing, especially like in the early season. So I'm super stoked to talk to him, Jesse Ortiz. So thanks a lot, Jesse. Thanks for getting on. I'm super excited to talk to you.
No worries. I'm glad to do it.
Yeah. It just seems like you're consistently either killing giants yourself or even helping your buddies kill giants. So I think there'll be some cool stories, but maybe I just kind of wanted to start off like getting to know you a little bit. Like what got you into hunting, and is there something that kind of just like got you hooked, or what's your story?
Yeah. So I actually started hunting, I think like most of us, just at a young age. I think one story that like I was told is I was 3 years old and my dad took me hunting, muzzleloader, early season muzzleloader deer tag. And, they were just kind of like road hunting a little bit, you know, just cause I was only 3 years old in the car seat, him and his buddy, and, a few big bucks just like crossed the road on them. And they just like doors opened and took off chasing deer and just like left me in the truck, like kind of in my car seat for, you know, probably for a minute or two while they're chasing those bucks. And, you know, just like when, ever since I've been just a young boy, just, you know, just being with the boys, you know, cruising the mountains, I just thought it was the coolest thing. And, just hearing stories of like big mule deer, that's kind of just like my passion. I just love big mule deer. And, it just kind of took off from there. It just, I couldn't just stop thinking about hunting and mule deer and, you know, just being in the woods.
That sounds awesome. You've been at it for a little bit then, if you're out there chasing big bucks at 3 years old. That's cool, your dad to take you that young, and
Yeah, for sure.
that's fun. So
Yeah, and
I mean,
a lot of like the areas that we're like, consistently hunting, like my grandpa hunted it, like he took my dad, my aunts hunted it, and now I'm hunting it, and even have a I have a 2-year-old. He's gonna be 2-year-old. My son Eli. We took him this past year, and he even was a part of like a we killed like a 160 buck, maybe close to 170. But it's just a
That's
family
so
thing.
cool. Yeah, for sure. That makes it so much more fun and rewarding when it works out. You've killed a lot of big deer and been a part of a lot of big deer, it looks like. But I kind of wanted to start in chronological order a little bit with like the last few years. So in 2020, you killed like a 190 plus typical. Can you kind of like go into that and then maybe like go into your 2021 buck too?
Okay, so my first encounter with the big typical, this was the 2021 buck that I landed up killing, that like a lot of people have seen and stuff. And so it all actually started in 2019. My buddy had an archery deer hunt, and he invited me to go on the hunt, and we were just going, on the weekends pretty much. It's a I believe like a 21-day hunt for the archery mule deer. Anyways, so we'd go a few days on the weekends, and it happened to be a weekend that my dad was up there, and my dad just he loves to be in the mountains, but he likes to kind of do his own thing sometimes. So, I give him a give him a radio, and he has his binos and his cell phone, and he goes rogue, and he lands up turning bucks up for us.
Yeah,
So me and
that's
my buddy,
cool.
me and my buddy are in like this area, and my we there's not much service up there. My phone just starts blowing up, and it's my dad, and he's like, "You need to get over here. You need to get over here. Like, there's a giant. There's a giant." And so I'm like, "Where?" So he tells me where to go. So we drive like the Dukes of Hazzard through the mountains to like get back where he's at. And he's like, "Dude, I just seen a giant buck. He was with a doe, and he went somewhere over there and just bedded down in that thick stuff." And I'm like, "Okay, but he's right there, like in the bushes." And so I'm like, "Okay." So we make a stalk. We got the wind right. We're going up to him, and we were so excited. We didn't have like a radio or anything. We were just like, "He's over there somewhere." So we walk over there, and we actually walked past that buck by like 11 yards.
No
And
way.
yeah, this buck's just like held up just tight in this like just like a pheasant or a jackrabbit, just held up tight, and he's just like sitting there. And we walk past him, and I look back, and my dad's just like with the binos just pointing, like he's right there. And I'm like, "Where? Like, where's this buck?" And he was like 11 yards from us. He actually like just started turning, and I saw his frame just turn, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, like he is right there." And so I tell my buddy, he comes to full draw, but just like no shot. So like bucks just crammed in these like oak bushes, and my buddy's at full draw, like no shot, and the buck finally like just didn't like it and just took the exit. So he goes, away from us. We circle around, and the buck's standing there, probably like about 48 yards. I think I ranged him. My buddy pulls back, and as he's pulling back, the buck just takes off. So,
No way.
yeah, just takes off. So my buddy just like went back day after day after day, a little bit with me, a little bit without me, and just never turned up that buck again. Just never seen him. Like he vanished. So actually that year I had a muzzleloader deer tag that was in a going to be a few weeks after that. So my main goal was to try to kill that buck. So I poured a lot of invested a lot of time, and I just could not turn up that buck to save my life. Like, I looked and looked and looked and looked, and actually came up the first day of the hunt. I tried a new area, and he was probably close to 190, maybe high 180s, and I just kind of dropped the ball. I was trying to like rush up this peak, and it just didn't work out. Like, the buck winded me or was antsy, and he took off. So I landed up actually killing, which was with cool. It was cool. It was like with my dad, last day of the hunt, just a big solid old buck. I mean, he was probably like mid 160s, but it was just cool. I got to hang out with my dad. We like camped out. We had a good time, but no giant that year. So that's what kind of like, I think New Mexico did this thing where they like pushed back the muzzleloader hunt a week, and a week doesn't sound that much, you know, like that, like you would do much. But like once those bucks strip their velvet, dude, they're on a whole new agenda. They're just,
I see.
I'm, when they're in their velvet, they pretty much have their routine and they're not far. Soon as they scrape their velvet, they're just on a whole new agenda, different location, nocturnal, not moving as much, or just like moving to whole new country. So once that kind of happened, I was just like, you know what? Like, I usually just hunted with a rifle and muzzleloader, and I was like, I'm gonna like get into this. I'm gonna get into archery. Like, I think this is my best opportunity to kill a big buck. And I think most of us kind of figured out that the best time a big buck's vulnerable is the rut, or when he's in velvet. And here in New
You can
Mexico, like,
scout on them.
yeah, exactly, pattern them, and they're more, I think they're just like more their guards, their guards down. And there's a few hunts that you could, get the tail end of the rut, but other than that, it's like gov tags if you want to like hunt them in the rut, So I was like, you know what? I like hard horn bucks, but I'm it that hole just that giant right there, 11 yards, I was like, I'm gonna try this. So I got a bow put in the next year. Well, I had a bow. Actually, I think I harvested an elk or so before that with the bow. So anyways, I drew that tag for 2020. Got a brand new bow, started shooting like crazy. Started, just spending a lot of time scouting, and I had one buck, that big typical that I wanted to kill. I hung cams all in there, and lo and behold, he hit my cam. I picked him up, and yeah, and pretty much like the same location from where my buddy had him, like at 11 yards, not far from there. And
Jeez.
so I he started hitting my cams. He looked a little bit different. He had an extra eye guard, and he had like an inline, like a that ran parallel. So he was a little bit different, and he was my number one buck. And then leading up to the hunt, I actually got a video. I videoed a giant buck, like giant, non-typical, probably like 220 class, like just trash everywhere, like nasty, nasty buck. So
Jeez, okay.
I kind of switched gears, and I was like, you know what? Like, I want that non-typical, Like, that's the buck I want. But so I had two big bucks kind of, on the hit list. And the thing about that big non-typical is I think he was very much nocturnal, I believe. Like, I would just catch glimpses of him, and then he was also, he was just playing that line of, like public and not public, just like kind of, sometimes he'd be on public and most of the time he wasn't. And it was just, I invested so many days to try to catch him, in public, which I was never successful. I think I hunted so many days for that deer, and I kind of just kind of gave up. I think, I don't know how many days I hunted that deer, and he just would not mess up. He was always where he was safe, or he was not to be found. So I kind of turn sights on that other big typical, and that big typical, surprisingly, we found them. Like, so I had another buddy. Actually, I had like two buddies that had that deer tag, same as me, and they were like, yeah, and they were like, hey, are you gonna go try to get that big typical? Because I was so just invested in the non-typical, and I was like, yeah, like I kind of have them in my back pocket, right? And that actually that deer like moved, and he, man, he was like, he was in an area where my partner seen him, and you know, it was just like, oh, look at that giant buck, and just kind of one of those things where you're not prepared and just kind of hits you by surprise. And I was actually linked up with them, and the deer was kind of like going away from us. So, like, we just got excited and blew that deer out. Just like, we kind of pressured them, and I just, the last, you know, image I have in my head is just that giant buck bouncing away from me. And so
Oh,
I'm like, man,
geez.
I, yeah. And so I'm like, man, like, I can't turn up the non-typical. We just blew out the big typical. Like, it was like the lowest of lows, going from when I have, you know, I thought I had two target bucks to like both bucks, like just being gone.
Right. So what point are you at on this hunt? Like, are you towards the end of it now?
So this was probably like halfway through the hunt. And this is halfway through the hunt. So my buddy, my good friend Raul, he actually landed up, he had a tag, like I said, I had a couple partners that had a tag, and he landed up killing like a beautiful like 185 buck. And he actually had an elk tag in his pocket as well. So he killed his deer. That's what he was focused on. Nice, beautiful buck. And then switched gears to his elk hunt, and I continued on my deer hunt. In the same unit. In the same unit. So he calls me up one day, and he's like, dude, he's like, I found a big buck. And he's like, I think you should come see him.
No.
And he sends me some snaps, and I'm like, dude, he looks like a big frame buck. But I mean, it wasn't through this, I think it was like through a spotter, maybe his binos. It wasn't like the best, you know. I could just see a good frame, but it would, he didn't have that wow factor. And he was like, dude, meet me tomorrow. We need to go look at this buck like closer. So I met him. I met him. I met him, and he was with a band of bucks, and I think four or five of them, and probably about five of them. And he's like, there he is. And I'm like, he looks pretty good. I'm gonna get closer. Like, he just didn't have that wow factor to me. I don't know if I was just used to looking at that non-typical or that big typical, where this one just wasn't like wow. And I got closer, and I saw how deep his forks were and stuff. And right at this point, I'm at day, I think I killed this buck on day 17 of a 21-day hunt. I believe it's 21-day hunt.
Okay,
And
so you're cutting it towards the end now.
oh yeah, but I was still holding strong for that non-typical. Like, I told myself, like, I'd probably eat the tag, or the big typical. But once I got a good look at this buck in day 17, I was like, oh my gosh, like, Roll's right, like, this buck's a giant. They actually kind of got away from me. They kind of knew I was there. I don't know, bad wind or whatnot. I don't think I was taking the stalk as serious as I should, because it was more like, I'm gonna go check this buck out, not really like, I'm gonna kill him like right now.
Yeah, you weren't
They
like
kind of,
dedicated to be like, okay, let's make this happen. You're like, let's see what happens.
yeah. And then so once I saw how deep his forks were, and he was just a jumbo buck, I was like, oh gosh, like, I need to put an arrow in this buck. So my buddy, he contacts me, because like, he just sees, you know, he's glassing for me, so he just sees me like going towards these bucks, and then bucks running off. And he's like, what did you shoot? Like, did you miss? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, on the radio. And I'm just like, no, dude, like, I didn't shoot. And he was like, what do you mean you didn't shoot? You were like in bow range. And I was like, I didn't shoot. And I was like, but watch, I'm gonna kill him now. I was like, I'm gonna kill him now. And I circled all the way around to get my wind right, and I kind of knew more or less where they were going. And I was pretty much just like on this game trail. I got like wrapped around, got high, and I went to like cut them off. and I was just going, kind of fast, but just looking. And I like right in front of me, to my left, I just see them like on a lower game trail, paralleling me. I see all the bucks, and I'm like, oh, there they are. So I get up to them, I start ranging. There's like 60 yards. The big bucks in the back, there's 5 bucks. And they start like kind of getting nervous. They start going in the trees, and the front bucks like stop on the trail. And this big buck, I'll never forget it. Like he turns his head and like kind of like shoves the buck in front of him, like get in the trees. And I'm already ranged, pulled back, and I just put my 60-yard pin on him and just like release. And
No
man, that
way.
arrow, yeah, that arrow just slammed him perfect, like just perfect. All the other bucks go like continuing on the trail, and this buck just goes downhill, which was like a steep incline, and he's just running, just bleeding from both sides straight away from me. His legs are already giving out, and then he just tumbles, and I'm just like, please don't break
No.
anything, because he's just like fell so hard, just running full blast to like pretty much just like just it was pretty much somersaults. What, just dirt and somersaults, and I'm like, no, don't break anything. Anyways, I go over there, and he messed up his velvet, in the tumble. And getting close to the end of the hunt, I'm sure that velvet's, thinning out, and it's very it's very fragile. So he shredded out his velvet, and man, we had just a great time getting that buck out and going back to camp. And my family was there, and my little brother was there, my dad was there, my wife, everyone. It was just awesome. We all celebrated, and yeah, he went 192 and some change.
Jeez. So
That's what my taxidermist and I scored him at.
did he kind of grow on you even after you had killed him, or once you got that look, that one time you're like, okay, he's like a 190 plus deer?
I like the score never really hit me. It's just like he's like not the widest buck and not, not the heaviest buck, but just seeing those deep forks, when he was on the ground, I realized like how deep those forks were and how symmetrical he was. And I just like I knew at that point, I'm just like, wow, like with those deep forks and being so symmetrical, I knew he would probably be like mid 180s to low 190s, maybe 190s. But when he came up to 192, I was surprised. I was like, whoa, like 192? No way, let's measure him again. And it was like 192 again. I was like, gosh.
That's so cool. So one question I kind of had too, like you're on these different deer, like were other people like hunting your non-typical or your typical or even the buck you ended up killing? Or
So,
did you kind of have them somewhat to yourself?
no, there, it's all public land, and I'm sure people kind of knew about them. That 192 buck, I never heard other than my buddies seen him. No one really hunting that buck. Other than my buddy, and just like my. I'm sure other people might have seen them, but just I've never, other than my close circle of friends and family, no one really ever seen him. The non-typical, because he was kind of playing that, like public, not public line. I think he was definitely seen. He was definitely kind of seen. And yet to this day, I don't know what happened to that deer. Like he just vanished. Like, or maybe he's still alive. I don't
Interesting.
know, but.
So then, in 2021, you draw that same tag, and are you just set on finding either the typical or the non-typical again?
Yes. It's just like, yes. It's like, okay, I got another redo, which is amazing that I drew, I drew a muzzleloader tag, and then I got the bow tag, and I got another bow tag, and then another bow tag, because prior to that, I didn't draw for like 6 years straight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, yeah,
So your
like,
luck kind
yeah,
of
I was.
turned around.
Yes. Like I didn't hunt deer for 6 years for myself. I put in every year, was unsuccessful, And then I just got lucky. I just got like, you know, I just got like tag, tag, tag. And I'm like, what? I'm gonna take full advantage of this. So, 2021, right away, I knew like my two bucks that I wanted to hunt if they were, you know, if I could still turn them up. Which surprisingly, I did turn them both back up, in 2021. So, 2021, it's like August. It's like August 2nd, and got the family camping out there. Wake up one morning, take a cruise, and just start, you know, just start looking. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna get to this high point, you know. So took a late morning hike and looked down, and there's the big typical just looking at me like early August, and I got a
No
tag in my
way.
pocket. Yeah, I got a tag in my pocket, you know, that starts September 1st. So I'm like, nice, like there's one. But for whatever reason, he didn't look like as big. Like at first I thought, oh, he's digressing or something like that. You know, he didn't look as big as the year before as I remember it, you know, him kind of held up in those bushes, and then also when we bumped him,
Yeah.
you know. So I'm like, okay,
Interesting.
cool. So on another cam, that's like, okay, so there's like the big typical, and then like I would say like 3 miles away probably. It was a real dry like August, and I hung cams on water, and like 3 days before the hunt, I get a picture of the non-typical like way in the public, and I'm like, oh
Really?
shoot, like. I'm like, he's not even like playing the line no more. Like he's deep in public. Like I have a shot at killing him like this year. Like
And is
I
he
could do
like
this.
220 again? Or like what is he missing?
You know, he's about the same. I took that picture like I don't know, like I would say probably, yeah, it was probably like 8 days before the hunt, so I couldn't really tell you. I'd say that he's probably about the same. I don't know if he was 220, but 215, that's
He's
kind of what
big
I guessed
enough.
him at. Oh yeah, he's well over 200 with his trash. I mean, there's a picture on my Instagram of him, and he has eye guards. He's got it all. He's just one of those bucks that's just like wow. So yeah, and like prior to that, so like I saw the big typical. I hung so many cams. Like I was putting in so much scouting effort. Like I was just pretty much on the weekends, I was just living out of my truck, just bouncing around, pulling cards, like taking naps like on my hammock, like going to set up more cams, like glassing the morning, glassing the evening, getting like I would get home on a Sunday like at 9 o'clock at night. My wife, you know, she would have dinner for me. I would like go, you know, warm up my dinner, take a shower, and be like, all right, babe, well, you know, like I didn't turn up nothing today. And I was getting frustrated, you know, prior to like getting the picture of that non-typical, because like I saw the typical once, but other than that, I really didn't see any other like qualifying bucks that I wanted to hunt. So I'll never forget when I went to go pull that card and that non-typical was on the water. I was just like, I was in the house just going, you know, on my laptop, and I was like, no way. And I go to the next picture and I see all the trash, and I'm jumping up and down in the living room. I'm like, he's here, he's here. And my wife comes around, like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, the big non-typical, the big non-typical. Like, he's here, he's here. And so she's like, nice. So that kind of just like turned it up another notch, you know? I'm like, so again, I wanted to focus on the big non-typical, and that was, you know, that was the big non-typical was number one again, and I'm like, maybe he'll come drink water. It's really dry, so I pretty much, you know, I pulled all my cams, and I just went there, and I saw all the track and stuff like that, and I'm like, he's gonna come back and drink. It's hot. He's gonna come back and drink. It might take me. One day it might take me 17 days, but I'm gonna sit on this water till he shows up, and I'm gonna put an arrow in him.
Right. So when he
Low
hit your
low.
camera on that water, like on the trail
Yeah.
camera picture, like was he, did he hit during daylight at all?
He hit.
Or was it?
So yeah. He. It was like. It was
Oh, so
like
he's like
10.
killable.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like 10:20 in the
Yeah.
morning with some other dink bucks, just drinking
No
water and just.
way.
Yeah. And so yeah. So yeah. So I was like super pumped on that. So the night before the hunt starts. So, just getting ready, making a plan. Oh no. It actually was, so the first day I went and I sat water and I'm sitting there and I'm not like, this is not my vibe. Like I'm not, I can't sit still. Like I'm not a ground blind. I'm not a tree stand. Like I glass, I hike vantage points. I just try to cover as much ground as possible. Like I cannot sit still. So that first day was brutal, just all day just sitting in the blind. I'm like, oh gosh, I hope he shows up soon because I'm not gonna make 17 days. But then I'd pull up that picture and I'm like, it's all good. Like I'll stay here till the end. So that next night, or yeah, that night, it just pours rain. And I'm
No.
like in my yeah, I'm in my truck, driving to go hunt this deer, and it's just raining, like raining hard. And I'm just like, that was my only chance to kill that buck. Just like if he came in for water, 'cause like where he was, it's not really glassable. It's just hard to hunt a big buck in that area. So my own, kind of like my only shot of killing that non-typical would have been if he came in to drink. So I had a good buddy who had a tag, the same tag as me, archery deer, and I link up with him and I'm like, hey dude, let's go get you a deer. And he's like, no dude, like, and he's my good friend, so of course I'm telling him all this. So he's like, no dude, you got, his name's AD, super good friend of mine. He's like, no dude, like, you got a premium tag, or you got this tag and you got a premium buck, like found, like you should just be hunting him. Don't worry about me, dude. I don't want to like step on, like your hunt. And I'm like, no, dude, like my, it rained cats and dogs. That was my only like chance of killing that buck. Let's go. I'm gonna go with you and we're gonna kill, we're gonna get you your first buck. And dude, it was so fun. Like, I kid you not, like we probably seen like 13 bucks, like nothing big, but we probably seen like 13 bucks that day. And we were hunting deer and it was raining on us, so we were making stalks in the rain. And just like it was the most fun ever. Like we'd blow a stalk, or they would wind us, or like we would go one way, they wouldn't go the other way. We were just like just having a blast, just chasing, nothing giant, but just having a good time just chasing deer. So the next morning he's like, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, I'll help you again. And he's like, no dude, you should go try to hunt that deer. And I'm like, no, I want to help you, and I got plenty of time and I got to wait for it to dry out, and to get a shot at that non-typical. So he's like, well, what's the plan? And I'm like, we're going to go hunt the big typical, we're going to go check him out. We're going to, so he's like, okay, cool. So we go over there, we make the hike, we go over there and make the hike, and I glass up a solid buck, like not the big typical, but he's a good buck. And I'm like, there you go, buddy. Like, this is what I would do. The wind's good. Get down in there. Like, just kind of, I'm gonna hang back and just let you do your thing. He gives me, a little fist bump, and he takes off, and I'm watching him for a while. And I kind of lose visual of him and the deer. And I'm just like, huh, I'm going to move just so I can either put eyes on him or the buck to either kind of guide him in, or just see what's going on. And like, mind you, like I'm in like the area where the big typical is. And so I make a big circle, I get up high and I'm looking, and I hear like kind of crashing. And in my head, I'm like, AD just launched an arrow and hit, killed that deer. And he's just like, running, crashing. And I look up And what happened is AD was coming in on that deer. The big typical was bedded in the thicket behind those other deer, kind of using them as a buffer. And so when he
Okay,
got up, so
interesting.
when those other deer saw AD, they warned the big buck, and the big buck took his exit. Just lucky to be there, even though I knew the deer was there, it was just luck. I was standing on the big deer's exit, the big typicals.
No
We he
way,
comes
no
he
way.
comes running to me and stops, and he's probably like 30 yards from me or 20 yards from me, and I just see a giant frame, and I'm like, that's a big tip, that's the big typical, like just telling myself in my head. I didn't even have like an arrow knocked or nothing. I knock an arrow, I kind of follow him. He goes like jump, you know, going downhill, jumps over a big log, and he knew that I was there, but he didn't like, I guess, I don't know. He sensed that I was there, but he didn't really feel like threatened, or he was kind of confused by me. So I roll over the
Yeah.
top, look down, and he was like, I still to this day, I just like went blank. I don't know if he's 30 or 40 to this day. But I look down and he's just his head's just whipping back and forth, just a giant tall frame. He's like looking the direction of my buddy,
Jeez.
looking in the direction of like those other deer. He's looking back up me, and I know he's gonna like, this is my one opportunity to put an arrow in him, just from
Yeah.
previously like
Yeah.
pressuring him and then him vanishing. I knew this was like my one chance. So I didn't even range him, which is one of my rules that I broke, but I just knew he was gonna like move quick. So I come to full draw, and in my head, you know, all summer I shoot a lot, you know, archery. If I have a tag, I practice quite a bit. And so in my head, I'm just like, and to this day, I told myself 100 times, I don't remember what I was telling myself, but I was like, he's 40, he's 40, he's 40, he's 40. I put my 40 pin and just sent it. And
Yeah.
whack, I just heard whack, and my fletchings went all the way like touching him. And that big
Oh
buck,
my gosh.
yeah, so he's like quartering away, and there's like a little aspen, so I kind of like have to shoot a little bit far back on him, but he's quartering hard, so I actually get the heart shot and then smack the opposite shoulder. But he just absorbed that arrow, like didn't even faze him, and he just like took off walking, like didn't even look injured.
What?
And like,
What?
yeah, and like so much, like, you know, because when I killed that 192 buck, like he was just painting the floor, just, you know, like fumbling, going down the mountain, and this buck just took the arrow like, ow, that hurt, and walked off. And I'm like, oh. So, you know, with all the excitement, I'm just, you know, I'm losing my mind really. I'm just like, was he as big as I thought? Was that the big typical? Did I make a good shot? Should I have waited? Like so many things are going through my head. And
Yeah.
I'm like,
Yeah.
okay, like I'm gonna give him time to die, you know, like I know better than just to go down there. So I'm sitting there, and then like in my head I'm like, oh, AD. Like AD doesn't know that I shot. What if he goes walking that direction and picks his buck up out of his bed, you know, when he, you know, and kind of like scares him off. So I wrap back around the way I came, trying to find AD, and lo and behold, like I'm like, this buck would have crossed somewhere here, like 70 yards from where I shot him, maybe even 60 yards or 50 yards. I turned my head, and that buck, the big typical, is just piled up right there, just
No
dead. And
way, no.
I shot him like maybe 5 minutes. Like I shot him, you know, I shot him, and then 5 minutes later, I'm trying to find AD so he doesn't pick the buck up, and the buck's just there, just dead, just laying there.
Oh my
And
gosh. What was going through your
so,
head? Like, that's
oh,
crazy.
so
I can't
I,
even imagine.
so I walk up to the buck, and I kind of knew it was a big typical, but it happened so quick. I walk up to him, and I must have circled that deer like 70 times, just like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh, this is, oh my gosh, just losing my mind. Like, I'm all by myself. Well, AD's, come to find out, AD's still chasing that like 160, 170 buck, solid deer. So he's chasing that buck,
Yeah.
and I'm just in the middle of the forest, and like no one's around me. Like I didn't even have no one to like celebrate with, so I'm just losing my mind with this giant deer. And so yeah, so man, that was epic. You know, I got on the phone, called my dad. My dad's all, I'll be right there. Called my wife. She's like, was so stoked. She was like, okay, I'll be right there. AD, he was like, "No way, dude, like that's a solid deer." So went back to camp and we just had a good time, and it was just unreal, just all that encounters with that deer, all that year, all those, years with him. It was just like to have him in my hands was like unreal. Like to be lucky enough to, have the tags, it was just unreal. And
That's so cool.
yeah, it was amazing. So yeah, but so I learned a lot from that buck. I learned, a lot about just big mule deer in general off that buck, that one buck. It's just for an archery hunt like that, I feel like invest the most of your time in scouting, because once you scare or pressure a big buck like that, like your percentage, if ever, like every time that buck would get scared, he would vanish. And then next year he would show up more or less in the same area, like he forgot about the previous year. Just like, "Oh, I'm back," "I'm back here." And then soon as somebody would pressure him, he would just vanish, like go ghost. I remember after, so when
Interesting.
was it, like in, yeah, like 2019 and 2020, both times that, we seen him but we didn't kill him. I like after the hunt, I'd go and hang my cams back, and man, he wouldn't hit the cams. He would never come back to that area. Once he felt like he was
Really?
threatened, yeah. So like prior to the hunt, I would get a picture like once a week of him. Oh, and I got like this epic video of him too, like playing with, he was like chasing this little forker buck and stuff like that. And so anyways, I just had tons of footage of him leading up to the hunt. And then once we like pressured him during the hunt, I would go and put the cams in the same place after the hunt, and they would just sit there, all the way till the winter, like late winter, and he never even made an appearance, not even in dark. Like he just knew that we were pressuring him. He felt threatened, and he just vanished, never to come back until the next year.
That is so interesting, because you kind of, sometimes I feel like, at least I think, like on archery in the early season, like you kind of feel like you have a little bit better of a chance to bump them and they come up, come back, but he kind of just learned like once someone's in there and bumps them that he needs to leave or he'll get killed. That's interesting. So it's a good thing you killed him right then, because obviously he's pretty stressed with getting bumped by your buddy, and then.
And that's why I knew, like I missed a good bull one year because I didn't range him, and I always made, a rule to myself, range every animal. But when I saw him and just previous knowledge of how he disappears, I was like, I'm not gonna let him go again. And thank God, I just like practiced a lot in the summer shooting my bow and quizzing myself. I would like guess yardage and then range to confirm. So, that just played a big role, because I honestly believe if I didn't put an arrow in him at that time, I could have gone the whole hunt looking for him and I'd have never seen him again.
I mean, that's kind of what it sounds like based on the other 2 years. I think that's really cool to have like that many years of knowledge of them too. And then I think one thing that you did too that I kind of picked up on is like all that time you spent scouting, like you kind of had the knowledge of like maybe what those deer were gonna do, and I just think you can never scout too much.
No, not at all. I honestly, I think a lot of people are like, "Oh, it's like a 20-day hunt or 21-day hunt." Like, we got plenty of time. And me personally, I would rather invest my time into scouting, and then the first 4 days are crucial. It's crucial, crucial, crucial to like try to kill one of the big bucks that you've been watching in August. Like kill them, the first of the hunt, because each day as they're getting closer to shed that velvet, and they're getting pressured, by other hunters, and just even if they're like in remote areas that, we're hunting, just the, from long distance razors to, just the amount of people are chattering or talking or trucks, Like those big bucks kind of, they know, they're like, okay, something's going on. I don't like this. And they will either go nocturnal or they will move drastically. So in my opinion, it's crucial to spend as much time as you can scouting. And the first of that hunt, try to kill one of your target bucks, because as the hunt goes on, it just gets harder and harder.
Yeah, no, I think that's super good advice. I can't remember who said it, but I agree with this. Is like I'd rather have like 10 days scouting and 4 days hunting versus just like 14 days hunting. Because I just think scouting's so valuable. You can kind of figure out where the deer are, and I mean, obviously they kind of start to figure out something that's up once the crowds start coming. But if you kind of know their routine and know their pattern, like you said, those first 4 days are crucial.
And you know, it's most of it's just being patient too, you know, like there's so many. I feel like I'm still continuing, like, learning on these deer, but you know, I feel looking back, I feel like I kind of rushed a lot of opportunities where if I were like more of a patient, and it's hard, don't get me wrong. We're hunting public land. You're like, what if somebody else bumps them? What if somebody else sees them? It's hard to glass up a buck during a hunt with a bow in your hand and sit there and be like, no, he's not in a killable spot. I should be smart. I should have patience. I'm going to wait till he beds or gets in a place where I can make a stalk. Because, like I said, I believe with these big deer, you only have one opportunity. So it's worth it to be patient and come up with a solid plan and try to make it happen that way. You know, I feel like, including myself, a lot of guys are like, oh, there's a big buck. Like, oh, just go over here and go over there and check your wind and try to kill him. And these big deer know. So it kind of has to be almost like a perfect setup for it to pan out the way that you're planning, you know?
No, that makes sense. And I mean, that's kind of what I was gonna ask you is like, man, I just see you, like you are so consistent on these big velvet deer. I mean, even last year you helped your buddy kill a 200 plus inch deer, and that was like, I think on your post it said that was his first buck. Like, but I'm not seeing a lot of people like kill big velvet New Mexico deer. Like, it just seems like you kind of have it figured out. Like, what do you kind of think you're doing different? Just kind of like what we talked about, or?
I think you know, I would think that I just kind of figured it out that you know, these big deer are probably going to be more vulnerable, like when they're in velvet. Like I stated before, we can't hunt them in the rut unless it's a gov tag or, you know, maybe the tail end of rut. There's some hunts like that. But so I just was like, this is my best opportunity to kill a big buck. I would say is like just putting time in to kill these bucks, you know, like I was saying before, I had so many days. I felt like I was living out of my truck and just checking cams and glassing, and then, you know, just going to a complete different area and hanging cams and checking water and looking for tracks. And it's you know, it's like anything, you know, that where it's a big animal, you know, you just invest time and you're patient, and you just gotta stay positive, because it could, like, you know, like I said, it could literally just be days and days of hunting, and that right picture, or, you know, prior to the hunt, or, you know, that one hillside that you didn't glass, or, you know, that one little cruise where, you know, you just cut a big buck track and you go check it out. You know, anything can turn a hunt from going not the way you want it to killing a giant deer.
And I mean, that's proof of that. Like, even on that, the big typical that you killed, I mean, you put a ton of time into them, but like, if you wouldn't have been out there with your buddy, who knows what would have happened. So I
And
think that's
I
very
told,
true.
yeah, and I told my buddy, I was like, see, you were so concerned about me throwing away my hunt to help you. That was just that good karma for, you know, helping you. Like, that's why I killed this buck. And I still tell him this day, I was like, if it wasn't for you, I would have not killed that big typical. I'd have been over there chasing that non-typical, and he would probably would have never showed, because it turns out like day after day it like continued to rain, so he had water whatever, like wherever he wanted. So I'd probably not have killed any of the bucks. So I think that buck, you know, he was just good karma and helping out a buddy and prior knowledge and luck too, you know. It was a lot of luck.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, I kind of feel like you make your own luck, like with all that time you spent out there, and like you said, kind of good karma helping your buddy. But like you knew about that deer for 3 years, so obviously you're doing something right when you're consistently killing big deer like this. So,
Yeah, like
and then
one of the best hunt oh, I was gonna say, like
go
one of the
ahead.
best hunters I know, you know, like my buddy Roel, like he always like tells me, he's like, to kill a big buck, you need to hunt a big buck. And at first I was like, what does that mean? And then like it clicked, like, you know, I feel like some people see a big deer or got a glimpse of big deer and they didn't see him like day one, day two, day three, and then they just go rogue to go find like another deer. And
Yeah.
you know, that saying is, you know, to kill a big deer, you got to hunt a big deer. It means you got to stay consistent. You've seen the deer there. He's not going to be far. You might not see him on day two or day 12, but he eventually, you know, there's a good potential that he might turn up again. And that's where you have the opportunity to kill that big buck.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. I mean, I'm guilty of that because, like, after day three, day four of not seeing them, and then you kind of start to panic. You're like, oh, maybe I need to go look where there's, you'll try to find a different deer. But I think that's the key to killing big deer is just sticking with it. Because it seems too, like a lot of the time, like these big deer live maybe in lower density areas where like it might be more fun to go look and see a bunch of deer, but you're probably not going to see a big one, especially if you have a big one scouted. Like just sticking with it, I think, is the key. And that's exactly what you did, is just kind of stick with those two bucks year after year, and it paid out for you.
Yeah, it definitely did. And yeah, it definitely did. I you know, the one last year with my buddy, that buck he got, that was like another one that was just, you know, it was just another exciting big buck that got killed. And that one actually didn't, I didn't have a lot of scouting or prior knowledge to that deer. So sometimes you can just get lucky, you know. I feel like you said that, you know, the big typical and the non-typical and, you know, all those that I put a lot of work in, you know, sometimes it pans out, sometimes it doesn't. And like I said, I've never seen the non-typical again. But sometimes, you know, just luck. I feel like, there's a lot of guys that are good. But without luck, a lot of these big deer would probably still be walking around. And that's what kind of happened in, you know, this last year with my buddy. We just kind of lucked out and killed that one.
Really? So
Yeah, yeah,
and
we,
that was his first hunt, wasn't it?
he, so he's hunted, he killed a solid bull and he's killed a nice antelope, and he's a hunter for sure, but he never killed a deer at all. So
Oh,
he
okay.
killed, he, you know, he got a nice bull. I think it was like a 330 bull or 340 bull. He killed a stud antelope with his bow, but just never killed a deer. And my son was born and I was kind of feeling cooped up in the house, and here comes September, I didn't have no tags in my pocket, and I told the wife, you know, hey, I think I'm gonna go help my buddy Garrett. And she was like, oh, okay, yeah, you've been kind of cooped up in the house, you know, and it's been kind of a long winter and stuff with the little one. I'm like, go out for the weekend. So I get a hold of my friend Garrett, and he's like, yeah, dude, come on up. Like, and he has an elk and a deer tag, same unit. And so I get there and he's like, you know, like kind of like we've seen some bulls and stuff, and which I get, you know, like he's already killed a good bull, so he has prior knowledge when it comes to elk. And you know, hearing those first bugles, it gets exciting, you know, like who doesn't want to chase elk when, you know, they're starting to bugle. But just me with that prior knowledge of like, look, dude, like the hunt just started, we should focus on deer. So I got to camp and I pretty much told him like, look, like I'm here to help you. and we're gonna have a great time, but your elk hunt's on hold. And he's like, what? Like, you don't think we should continue hunting an elk? And I'm like, no, dude. Like, you have a deer tag. Like, these first days are crucial. I haven't done no scouting. All I have is prior knowledge from like the years before, but we are gonna try to kill a deer. So, he's like, cool. Like, I'm on board. And so, I think I had to come back home or something or whatnot. So anyways, I got my gear and stuff like that, and he went and hunting with another buddy, and I'm driving up, and I'm like, you know what, I'm in the unit at this point, and I'm like, I'm gonna go check an area. It's like the evening, it's already like another hour till dark, and I'm like, I'm gonna go check this area where there's usually some deer. So I get to this area and walk up this ridge, get to the top, sit down, put my 15s down on the tripod and start looking, and just right across from me there's two nice bucks. Like, one's like a 183 and the other one's like, I don't know, like a 170. And so like I call him on the phone, I'm like, dude, where are you? Like, there's two nice bucks right here. And he like tells me where he's at, and he's like far, far, like way off. And I'm like, no, like you won't get here in time. But I was like, no one knows these deer here. Like, I haven't seen no one poking around. Like we'll get a shot at these deer. Like, they ain't going nowhere. So go up to camp, and his family's there, and they're just great people. Making great food and stuff like that, and hanging out by the fire. So next morning, we wake up and we go straight there, and those deer are nowhere to be found. I can't turn up those bucks. And I'm just like, what? I was just kind of like, kind of just like, we'll find them, we'll turn them up, the night before by the fire. And I'm here, and I'm like, there's not even a doe around here. Like, this is horrible. And so I'm like, you know what? It's all good. Like, I seen them in the evening, so they should probably be back here in the evening. So we go back in the afternoon, and there's actually another hunter there. And he's like, and I'm like, oh man. And like, I can tell he's kind of flustered, walking up the trail. He's kind of like flustered, and I'm like, what's going on, dude? And he's with his young boy, and he's like, man, he's like, I just pretty much dumped the quiver on a buck. And I'm like, what? He's like, there was two bucks here, and they were like, I don't know what he said, like 56 yards, and I shot an arrow. And nothing. I shot an arrow, nothing. Shot an arrow and nothing. And then he's like, the last shot, he's all, I think I hit him. Like, I think I hit him. And I'm like, okay, dude. Like, and I already knew these deer. Like, one was like reddish and the other one was grayish. And I'm like, which one did you shoot? And he's like, the gray one. He didn't even like, I asked him, I'm like, did you shoot the red one or the gray one? And he's like, oh, I shot the gray one. And then he kind of looked at me like, how'd you know? Like, how'd you know about these bucks? So I'm like, you know what, dude, like, right on, like, congrats, I hope you and your son get them. And he's like, yeah, they went this way. And I told him, like, cool, I'm not even going to, like, touch that direction. Like, good luck, buddy. Like, we're going to go way over here and glass, like, this little side. I didn't want to interfere with him, and his hunt. So I tell my buddy, I'm like, hey, like, I think I have a feeling where these deer are going to, well, the one deer will go. If he killed that one, I kind of know where these deer will like tuck back into. So me and him like, go marching up there and get way back in there and, cut across the little canyon. And I look across, and exactly where I seen those deer the evening before, both of them are standing there, the gray one and the red one. And the
No
gray one
way.
has like,
What?
and the gray one, yeah, the gray one has like a cut on his back from the dude's arrow. And it's not like deep, it's just like a graze. You could just see like his fur like fluffed up, And he's like grazing, he's still eating, and then like turning back and like kind of like licking it, like mending it, and then going back to eating. And I'm like, I like sat down, I'm like, dude, there they are. And I was like, and they were both nice bucks. The reddish one had, he wasn't as wide, but he had deeper forks. And the other one was just wider and heavier. So anyways, I told Gary, I was like, dude, we're gonna kill these deer. Like, one of them, we're gonna kill one of them, like right now. So anyways, we get on this trail. There's like a little trail that's paralleling them. They're like across the drainage, and so we're walking, and like when you're and I love that feeling when you're stalking a deer, it's so quiet that you can hear your heart just boom, 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 just pumping. And
Yeah.
you're just trying to be quiet. And so, I noticed that we were kind of noisy on the trail. And so I told Garrett, I was like, sit down, take off your boots. So what? I'm like, take off your boots. So he takes off his boots. So I'm holding his boots and my boots, and we're walking down this trail. And he's
Yeah.
just looking at me like I'm crazy. Well, we sneak into, I can't remember. It was like 53 yards, I think I ranged them for Garrett. But they're like kind of straight down, like the bottom of the drainage. And I kind of should have told Garrett, to hold a little low, or I just wasn't thinking, just ex in excitement. So he pulls back
Yeah.
and releases, and Garrett shoots right over that buck, like right over that buck, the big gray one. And they're just like
Yeah.
looking around, like, what happened? What happened? And then they like take off up over the ridge, and we never seen those deer again. And Garrett was all sad. He's like, dude, I can't believe it. Like, that was a jumbo deer, and you put me on him. Everything was perfect. Like, I just didn't deliver. And I was like, Garrett, it's fine, dude. That's hunting, Like, this is
Yeah.
what it's about. This is what it's about, dude. This is about blowing stalks and making mistakes and learning and misses, and this is what makes it fun. I was like, don't worry, dude. Like, we're gonna have another opportunity. So we go back to camp, and I was actually supposed to leave that night. And I get on the phone with my wife, and I'm like, hey, baby, I know I was supposed to, I was gonna stay here for like 2 days or a day or whatnot, but I'm gonna stay another day. Garrett missed a good buck, and I think we can get it done tomorrow. And she's
Yeah.
awesome. She's just like, okay, cool, yeah. Like, I was like, I'm just gonna hunt the morning, and then I promise I'll be home. So she's like, yeah, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
And all night by the fire, Garrett's just, eating himself up. And so the next morning we wake up, and we go back to the similar area, and I'm just like not turning up any bucks. I'm just like, oh gosh, like. Because I know, this is my last morning to hunt, and Garrett kind of said that, if I left, he was going to switch gears to, elk hunting.
Oh, okay.
And I said, well, let me just go check this real quick. So I got a little bit different angle, a little higher up, and I look, and I just see, a solid 10 point. He looked like a 150 buck. I see him, and then, he disappears. So, I go and get Garrett, and I'm like, dude, there's a buck over there. And he's like, yeah? And I'm like, yeah, there's a buck over there. And I was like, we'll see what, we'll see what pans out. So walk over there, and we walk over there, and I can't find that buck. Like, he just vanished in the thick. And I'm like, I know I saw a buck. And he's like, Garrett's like, well, we should probably walk this little path. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. Well, the wind's good, we'll walk it. So we're walking up the path, and we're about to top off where, I kind of pictured that deer to be. Well, I look to my left, and there's a big frame deer, like up on the hill, but not where I expected, that deer to be. Come to find out, there was probably like 9 bucks together, and I just happened to glass up like one of them at,
What?
you know, at yeah, there's like 9 bucks all walking together. So, anyways, I knew there was probably gonna be more deer in the back, because that big buck we saw with, to my left, he was kind of not where I expected him to be. So I didn't know for sure, but I'm like,
Yeah.
you know what, there's probably multiple bucks in here, or a few together. So this big buck's like standing on a rock, kind of looking our direction. I don't know if he saw us or just kind of sensed us there, but he's just kind of looking at us. And I range him, and it's 89, 89, 89, 89 yards. I keep ranging them, and I'm keep on getting 89 yards. And I told Garrett, he's like 89 yards, dude. And Garrett's one thing about Garrett, he loves archery, and he's a shooter, man. Like, I think he killed his antelope at 104 with a bow, 104 yards with a bow.
Oh,
I mean, he go
geez.
yeah, he goes to shooting competitions. Like, he's an archer.
Yeah.
Unlike me, if I have a tag, I'll practice archery, but he's just an archer. So I knew he can make that 89-yard shot. So anyways,
Yeah.
I knew he was just a big frame buck. So he pulls back, and he pulls back, and I'm like, ranging. Case of the buck moved, you know, I can kind of like correct him on the yardage. And out of the side, like corner of my eye, I see Garrett just like shaking. Just like he's pulled back his bow and his bow's just dancing in his hands. And I'm just like, oh. So I told Garrett, I like looked over and I'm like, dude, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. I said, just like let it down. So he lets down the bow and he's like, dude, he's like, I was shaky. Like I felt like I would have missed. And I'm like, I know you would have missed. Like you were shaking all over the place, dude. I'm like, just take deep breaths. I was like, just take deep breaths. Like they're not spooked. Just take, you know, get yourself together. So, you know, he's there just chilling. So at this time I'm like, okay, it's a good opportunity to like see what this buck's about. So I switched to my binos, and then when I switched to my binos and my, you know, my 12s, I just see trash. And I'm like, I want it to be like, oh, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, Garrett, like he's a stud. But I didn't want to get him even like more, you know, shaken up. So I just like slowly put my binos down and I'm like, hey Garrett, like he's a good buck. Like if you feel good and you pull back, like you should let it fly. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you can make that shot. So Garrett pulls back again, you know, same arrow, just, you know, just pulls back. And this time he's just ice in the veins, just like solid, just still. And the buck didn't move. He's still 89 yards. So I just went back to my binos and I'm like, okay. And he lets the arrow go and perfect shot, just center punches this buck. And this buck starts side hilling, mouth open, you know, blood, and he's, you know, he's bleeding and just crashes and dies right in front of us. Like in a
No
matter of
way.
like 45 seconds, it seemed like. Like from when he hit him and he side hilled and like laid there, like it was like quick. So Garrett's like, you know, he's stoked and he's like, oh, and he's gonna like let like a little like yell out or something like that, because we obviously knew the buck was like hit hard, like hard. And I like covered his mouth and I'm like, no. I was like, don't get excited. I said, like if he gets up or he could just ruin his velvet, you know, like either way, like just let him die. So I like kind of, you know, full Nelson, kind of like cover his mouth and just like shh. And he's like, what did I do? He's all, what did I, he's like, what did I do? I'm like, dude, you killed a stud. He's like, what? I'm like, I didn't tell you, but that buck has trash everywhere. And he's like, no. And I'm like, yeah, he's a giant. And so he's like, no way. So actually, so he like wanted to go over there, you know, just, we know the buck's down. He just is dying to get over there to look at his buck. And I'm like, no, dude, just like let him chill. Like you don't want to get him up. You don't want to mess up that velvet. Just let him pass. And I was like, well, let's go hang around the corner and like see what else is here, you know, like let's look at these other bucks. Just trying to get his like mind off of it, you know.
Hey, sorry,
And
I dropped off. I dropped
no
off, so
worries.
I didn't hear that last little part.
No worries. No.
I think I kind of dropped off right where you said, like where you're covering his mouth.
Oh yeah, so I was covering his mouth and he like I you know, I was like, don't mess up his velvet, you know, just let him pass. And he's like, what did I do? And I was like, dude, you just killed a giant, like a jumbo, like he has trash everywhere. And he's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. So he like wanted to go over there to look at his buck. And I was like, no, dude, like just, you know, just let him, you know, die, to get his mind off of it. I'm like, let's go around the corner and look at these other bucks just to, you know, get his mind somewhere else. So we go around the corner and get on like this little flat, like we walked like 100 yards. And in the back of that group of deer, there was like a one, I don't know, he was approaching 190, just a giant typical. And he's standing, that deer's standing there because the deer were so spread out from like, you know, like from left to right, they were spread out pretty far. So the back deer didn't know that Garrett killed the deer in the front. So when we, you know, when we walked, that giant, another jumbo buck was just looking at us like 43 yards, broadside,
Oh,
just,
jeez.
and like Garrett's like, oh, he's like, I should have shot that deer. And I'm like, no, dude, you killed a bigger deer than that deer. He's like, no, just because this deer is just wide and heavy, you know, so he has that like that big frame where it's like, oh my gosh, that's a giant deer. But like looking through the binos, I knew what Garrett killed. So we go back over there and get his deer, and man, like the deer just grows. Like I saw him quickly through the binos, and I seen him like run off with an arrow in him. But when I walked up to him, I was just like, "Oh my gosh, Garrett!" And he's just like losing it. I'm like, "I cannot believe this is your first deer. You are like ruined for life." And
Yeah.
so, and he was just super pumped, super stoked, and yeah, it was definitely the highlight of last year.
That's so crazy. It's such a cool deer too. I just kind of hear how it went down. That's sweet. So, do you
Yeah,
have
for sure.
any, I mean, you don't have to say, I don't know if you want to keep it a secret, but do you have any tags this year?
So no, I'm benched this year. It seems like I hope it is not 6 years before I get another tag. But
The luck ran out.
yeah, I think I might have used up all my luck. But no, no tags for me this year. You know, my wife, she has a antelope tag that's next weekend, and then she has a very good bull hunt. So we'll kind of see where that
Okay.
goes. But as far as mule deer, no tags for us. I have a friend, a good friend, actually. So the guy, you know, that I first found the big typical with, that was like 11 yards from that buck, he actually
Yeah.
has the archery tag this year.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so he's invited me. He's like, "You should come up and help me and stuff like that." But actually, my wife, we're expecting her, you know, another little one, another boy.
Oh, awesome.
So
Congratulations.
yeah, thanks. Yeah, so we'll see, you know, with the time and stuff like that. I would love to go. Actually, you know, I still, you know, set up some cams and stuff like that, and I'm gonna try to go glass, even though with no tag. You know, it's prior knowledge. You know, like if I were to get a tag next year, I'd rely on the knowledge from this year. You know, so even though I'd have no tag in
Yeah.
my pocket this year, I'm still, you know, laying out cams, still glassing the little time I have to be out, I'm still glassing. Just trying to, you know, keep marks on big bucks.
Yeah, well, that's a difference maker. I think a lot of people wouldn't do that, but that's why a lot of people aren't as successful as you when it comes to that. So that's
Yeah.
perfect. But yeah, I really enjoyed those stories, and I do think there is a lot to learn from some of the stuff that you talked about and just listening to those stories. So I really appreciate you getting on.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to another episode of the Dirty Giants podcast. I really appreciate the support. I think that was an awesome episode. I'd love to hear your guys' feedback. I hope I can get more people on like Jesse who just consistently kill big deer. It's really fun to hear the stories, and I think there's a lot to learn from them. I know that just doing these last 10 or so podcasts, I've learned a ton from the people that I've been able to interview. So anyways, I know a lot of you will be out in the field this next week or so. So good luck, and I hope you guys kill a dirty giant of your own.